We have one white person in the audience, and I caught him in the green room eating all the food. And that was Kent. I won't say who it was. Welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson. Today is the fifth year, the anniversary for BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And so today we're going to look back on the history of BOND and talk about it, sort of talk about what we've gotten from it over the last 5 years. And first I want to tell you who I am and what we are about. And then I'm going to go around the audience, the room here, and ask some people some questions about BOND and about life and about what we are about. I am the founder and president of BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And the purpose is to rebuild the black community by rebuilding the black man. We're somewhat trying to change that a little bit, the name, the motto, because we find that most men, if not all, but most, need rebuilding. They're very weak. And if you look at society now, you see that women are taking over, not only in the home, but in the government, in the workforce. And there's something wrong with that. We are going to get worse if that doesn't change. So BOND is dealing with those issues. Our purpose is to rebuild the man. Over the last 30 to 40 years, black men have not been in charge of their families. They have not been in charge of their own lives, in charge of their community. And as a result, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. And so what BOND is doing is looking at those issues, looking at those problems, so that men can begin to take a look at themselves, that they may begin to overcome. It is a sin to have a leader. It is a sin to have another man, another person, whether female or male, in charge of your life. And black men are known to have leaders, whether it's ministers or politicians or their woman, whether it's their wife or their mother or their girlfriend, or somebody is in charge of their lives, and they're not in charge of their own life. And that is a sin. And as long as we live that way, we will never get over. It's not going to change. It doesn't matter how much money the government gives us. It doesn't matter how much they love us. Affirmative action won't change it. We can screw all the white women that we want. That's not going to change it. It is not going to change until we realize what is wrong and begin to overcome. We have a leader within us, and it's that leader that we need to follow. BOND has an entrepreneur program for the youth. We have a mentor program. And tonight you're going to meet some of the people who are involved in those things. What else? We're 5 years old today, and today's date is what's today's date?
10th.
What's the month? February 10th, 1995, and I'm not here. So we are celebrating. And I want to try and give you tonight a better idea of what we are about. We have gone through a lot. We have had our phones tapped. We have been threatened in many ways. I had a radio talk show here in Los Angeles on KTYM in Inglewood, and I was banned from the show because black people were mad at the truth. The ministers and black women were very upset because what we were saying about them, and so they had me banned. They threatened the station, they threatened me, and the manager was a white man, and he couldn't take it anymore because he knew they're afraid of us. So he just said, "Look, Jess, I'm sorry. I love you. You're right in what you're doing, but I can't take it." I'm now hosting a radio call-in talk show in Oregon. We have three chapters of BOND now, one in Los Angeles, one in Montgomery, Alabama, and another one in Oregon. We're going to start one in 1995 in Indiana and one in Washington, D.C. We are moving like wildfire. We cannot be stopped. And the reason that we can't is because we're speaking the truth. And you can't stop the truth. It won't stop. We try and live, not try, but we live what we speak. a lot of black ministers, they lie. They don't live what they speak. And we know it. We've grown up with it. We know of many cases where preachers go to church on Sunday morning and preach from the Bible and go home and have dinner at the family house and screw the woman, and we know about it. What else we know that's wrong? Black men are on welfare now. You can get welfare if you're a drug addict, in case you didn't know about that. You can get up to $300 and food stamps and money. And all this stuff is destroying us. We need to take over. I come from somewhat of the same background. I didn't have a father in the home. I was raised by my grandmother and my mother. I was very weak up until the age of 37. I was into sex, drugs, lies, and video games up until the age of 37. And then one day I realized I need to take hold of my life. This is not the way a man should be. I should set the standard. And I began to look at what went wrong. I realized that it was because I didn't have a father in the home. I resented my father. And as a result of that, I was very emotional. I was out of control. And I thought through drugs and sex and women and lies that I would somehow or another find peace in my heart. It didn't work. It didn't work. I had to forgive my parents. My parents wasn't bad parents. If you look at my mother, she's very normal. She goes to church. My dad is a minister, and my mother would kill me if she knew I was talking about this on TV. My dad is a minister. So they look normal, just like any other black person that goes to church. They go to church and they praise the Lord. They talk about the Bible, and they go home and they're impatient with their children. They're sleeping around with everybody. They're married to weak men. And that's, you know, it was those things that caused me to be weak. I'm different now. Thank God. So what I'm going to do is introduce you to some of the people that in charge of some of the things that are happening at Bond. The first person is Marcus Mims. And Marcus is over here on the left, on my left here. Marcus is the director of the youth meetings. He get together with young people, both male and female, and try and help them to understand with open discussion how to overcome emotions and how to take control of their lives. It is abnormal that we are emotional. That comes from hate. And so I just want to introduce you to Marcus. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Jesse.
Are you nervous?
A little.
Can you speak into the mic?
Sure, sir. But
don't be afraid of it. It won't bite. So are you nervous right now?
A little.
Okay. How old are you, Marcus?
I'm now 24.
Yeah. Just for the audience, tell them how did you hear about Bond? When did you come in? And how has it done anything to change your life at all?
Yeah, I would say so. When I first...
Speaking to the mic.
Sorry about that. When I first came to Bond, it was about 2 years ago. And I heard about it. My mother, I guess, had gotten a phone number, and she had heard about this group, and she gave it to me. And I didn't call for a while. And then I called one time, and I found out that you were kind of close to where I lived at. So I walked by a couple of times and, you know, didn't go in. And then one day I went in.
You walked by the office?
Yeah.
And just looked in and didn't go in?
Yeah.
That's funny, huh?
Well, that's what happened.
I can see him walking up and down the street looking at him. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I wasn't sure, you know, what it was about or anything, and I didn't know what to do. You know, at the time, I was going through a lot of things, you know, and I just decided to go in one day. And I came in, sat in the meeting. I thought I would just sit in and kind of sit back and not say anything, and that didn't work. What happened is the first thing is when I walked in, I found out that I was the man of the hour, so to speak. You guys wanted to talk to me. And
what kind of things were you going through at that time? I know you probably don't want to tell all your stuff on TV, but
no.
What kind of things? A little ideal of this kind of thing you were dealing with.
Well, I had broken up with my girlfriend at the time. And I don't know, I just was unhappy, real unhappy, up until the point that I had did everything that I thought.
We need you to hold a mic. Just like, yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought I was doing everything that, you know, you're supposed to do to make you happy. I was working. I was going out with the good girl. I was doing everything that I thought I was supposed to be doing. And as a result of that, I was becoming more and more unhappy. And so I guess I had moved back home with my mom, big mistake, after I had broke up with my girlfriend. And
why was it a mistake to move back home with your mom?
Because I think that once I left, I shouldn't have never came back. I came back there because I thought that I would have some time to sort out whatever was going on with me. And I was able to get no peace while I was there. You know, right. She was just always bothering me, wanting me to do it. I guess she expected me to, the way she looked at it, I was coming home to, I guess, save her or help her with everything was going on. And I'm like, I'm having enough problems going on. I don't see how I'm going to do that.
You know, that reminds me, I was talking to my mother on the phone just the other day, and I was telling her, you know, a husband should be like a father to his wife. He should be like a daddy to her. And my mother got real mad. Ain't no man gonna be like no daddy to me. I had a daddy. We are equal. We are the same. And that's not gonna happen. And I felt a little sorry for her because I knew she didn't understand. Mm-hmm. And I explained to her that what I meant is that a husband should be, because in reality, if all were equal, the woman would not even leave home until she leaves with her husband. You know, she's there with her mother and father. He's watching over her and taking care of her and correcting her when she's wrong. And then she find a good man. It's just so hard to find a good man now. And then she get married and leave home with him. And he takes over where daddy leaves off at. But my mother didn't understand that because she had never seen that. And so I think with your mom, that is what, as with all women, that's what they need. They need a man who can protect them. In a way,
I understand.
They sort of help
now.
Them overcome their emotional condition.
I understand it now.
Yeah,
it's just that I was young and was hurting, and I thought that, you know, mistakenly, I thought that going back home this would help. I know it didn't help, but it did show me that what I needed to do is first, you know, leave that environment, and I haven't thought about going home since then.
Yeah,
I ask you what your relationship is with your mother now. Are you guys pretty close? Or?
He want to know, what's your relationship with your mother, just so it's to be on mic. Are you close to her now?
Sure. What? I don't really know what I would say towards her right now. I still talk to her. It's it wasn't always nice, so to say. I talked to her just recently. I don't know if I have a relationship with her. We don't have the same kind of relationship that we had before. I told her that has to stop. It was, and as a result of me telling her that needed to stop, it, how should we say, my family wasn't very nice to me for a long time. And
let me just say, how are things with you and your dad?
They're a little better. I speak to them a lot more than I used to.
So, Marcus, what is your impression of Bond, and are you better now with life? Your impression of Bond is what?
It's a good environment. When I first came there, I didn't want to really live anymore. I thought I wanted to commit suicide by the time I was around 19, because I figured if everything that I knew about life, if this all life has to offer, I don't want to live anymore.
Yeah.
That's pretty much where I was at when
Amazing.
I came.
Amazing. Isn't that
well,
something?
Yeah.
That is something. That, yeah. And so do you want to live now?
Sometimes.
I haven't
thought about giving up. You know, sometimes it's real tough for me because I've been used to dealing with life.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I think about giving up, but I thought about killing myself over all the things that I had to go through.
You know, we're about to take a break. When I was going through those times, there were twice when I tried to kill myself. Actually, I tried twice, but the pills wouldn't kill me. I remember once I broke up with a girl, it was so devastating. You know, when she left, she took my soul. I couldn't function. I couldn't think. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. And so I took pills to try to kill myself. And I thank God now. If anybody tried to kill me, I kill them. I want to live now because I have my life is so good now. It just absolutely blows my mind. And it's easy. It's very easy. It used to be very rough and very hard. When we come back, I'm going to introduce you to Phileas. He is the director of our chapter in Montgomery, Alabama, and he's here for the weekend to help celebrate this very special event. And we'll be back in a moment. All right.
It's electric.
Bond, the brotherhood organization of a new destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
Okay, and we are back. We're talking about Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, in case you're just tuning in. This is our fifth year anniversary. I cannot believe that time went by that fast. It was fast, huh? How long you been with us? 2 years?
Yeah, it's been 2 years. I was thinking about it. I was coming down. It doesn't seem that long.
Yeah. We do have a board of directors. We have an advisory board. We have men and women working with us as well. So it's a big time thing. You wanted to ask me a question. Let's get the mic over here. I'm sorry about this mic, but we are black and we can't afford but two. You wanted to ask me something.
Yes, many things have happened to me in my lifetime, and they ain't been good, they've been bad, but I ain't never thought at no time about killing myself.
Yeah, I think with me, I knew that the way I was living was wrong, but I didn't know how to get out of it.
Doing what you're doing.
But I couldn't stop either. I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop because My self-esteem, that void that I had in my life, it was nearly driving me crazy. So I would try to use something to try to fulfill it. And whatever I used could never fulfill it. And I would try to get more and more of it. And so whatever I got with a woman, she became my life. She became it for me. What? I gave my soul to her. And when she would take it away, it left an emptiness that nearly destroyed me.
Well, I don't blame the woman from leaving. She must have been sick when she picked you.
Why is that?
Because you need a checkup from your neck up. You thinking about killing yourself?
That's why we're trying to do. See, the average man, if a man is having sex with a woman and is not married to her, he is in that same condition. He just doesn't know it until he tries to give it up. When he tries
give up what?
Having sex before marriage and using a woman in that manner. The average man is in that condition. He's just not aware of it. Because every time he pull away from it, he get the pain and the anxiety. But what he does, he get another woman so that he don't have to deal with the pain of not being able to stand alone. And be alone.
Oh, I agree with that part of it. But now, it's about this. I never been married. And if I go forward or backwards, it's on me.
Do you have sex with women out of marriage, out of wedlock?
I sure have.
You do, but you don't do it anymore.
Huh?
When you say you have, you're not doing it now.
Yeah, if I find one that I want, I'm not married to her.
You would do it?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what the problem is. First of all,
what kind of problem is that?
It's a sign of a weak man, a man who is not able to stand on his values and principles and live by that and honor that, and then wait until the proper time to get married and the proper time to start his family. That is a problem.
At 65, it's a little bit late to try to start a family, ain't it?
I don't know about that. I mean, if you live right, you can have kids at 100. The old men used to do it, didn't they?
I don't want no kids.
Well, you know, one thing I'd like to say, you know, I think it's important that that one knows himself. What I appreciate about Bond is that there always should be a forum where we can get together and exchange ideas. And for me as a man, and a lot of men that I know, this machismo thing, this macho type thing is something that really prohibits oftentimes a man from really sharing feeling that he has.
Yeah.
And you find that you find yourself involved in a number of shallow relationships.
That's right.
Both with men and women.
Absolutely.
Shallow endeavors and whatever it is you may decide to do. And so it's important that you get beyond that and recognize that you're mortal, you know, and that
that's
it's
right.
Very basic things that happen with us.
That's a good point that you make. Those men who are putting up this false image like I'm tough, really that is insecurity. They're very weak and they're very insecure. That's why they have to fake it. But behind closed doors, they're very weak. And what we have to do, you know, God talks about overcoming the world. And what we have to do is realize that there is something wrong with the way we're living. And the moment that you truly realize that, you begin to lay it down and overcome it. And that's when, because what happens is, when you lay down, when you realize I'm destroying myself, there's something wrong with what I'm doing, you lay it down, then he takes over. And what happened? Wisdom come forward, and it's that wisdom which is of God that shows us how to live. Other than that, we don't know how to live anyway.
But see, I think, Jesse, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think that's the point where people separate, because you try to figure a lot of things out from the logical mind, you know, 2 + 2
that's
plus
right.
4.
And you can't.
And before the spiritual mind,
the
spiritual mind takes over.
Yeah.
And anytime you deal with it solely from the logical mind, you're going to have some roadblocks. And, you know, 99.9% of the time, you may make a decision and it may work out. And you may gather all the gold and all the riches and everything else that you want, but oftentimes for many people, there's still a major void, and they find themselves unhappy.
That's right.
I
even find that to be true with people who read the Bible a lot. You know, you have a whole bunch of people who go to church on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, and they go to the youth meeting on Sunday morning, and they read the Bible, and they still have a void. And it works the same way as it does if you use sex or drugs. The minute that you put down that Bible for a minute, you begin to realize that something is wrong with the way I'm living. And you begin to feel the anxiety of something being wrong. So what you do is run back and grab the Bible again and read it so you can feed your intellect, which deceive you to make you think that you have found the answer. And unless we began to understand this, we're not going to get any better. We're going to have to lay down a life in order to get one.
Yes.
We just have to do it. Yes, sir.
How do you be happy?
You be happy. First, you have to realize that you're not. You have to realize you're not.
Realize you're not happy, then what do you do in order to be happy?
Absolutely nothing. Because the moment you realize that you're not, you also stop trying to make yourself happy. And when you stop, he takes over. He reveals himself to you. He began to guide your life. And in that is happiness. In that is pure happiness. And you can be, you don't have a void at all. There is no fear. There is no doubt. There's no insecurity. There's no worry. There's no need for someone else or something else. He totally fulfills you when you realize that I am not happy and stop trying to make yourself happy.
Well,
you can't do it.
Happiness ain't something you can arrive at. Happiness is a byproduct. Just like love, you got to do something before you can be happy.
But
and the only way you can be happy is giving yourself to something other than you.
And
you
that?
Automatically gonna be happy.
Other than me, like what? For example, give myself.
You got to
what?
You got to care for yourself, your family, your neighborhood, your country, your church, your schools.
But you know what happens when you lay down that life? When you stop trying to do it yourself, then he takes over, and you are compelled to take care of to love your neighbor as yourself. You are compelled to give to others and do the right thing, and you do it in a non-selfish manner. You expect nothing from it, and you do it without expecting someone to glorify you for it. That all
no,
comes
no, no.
With,
what
with
you
happiness.
That's what make you happy is by giving our leadership to another man, the younger generation. In other words, by you doing what you supposed to do, by giving and respecting and helping,
I have to introduce feelings.
Humanity.
Well, let me just say this: you're right in one way, but wrong in another one. A lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are saying that I'm helping somebody. If you ask the average person, they would tell you, yes, I help. I give. I feed the homeless and I take care of my kids. And they are doing it selfishly. They're doing it to find happiness, and that is the wrong way to do it. You will find a moment, a temporary happiness, but you won't find true happiness.
That's gratification. But true happiness is if you ain't happy on your way home, you won't be happy when you get home.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Happiness is the way.
Oh,
that's what you mean. It ain't no way to happiness, because happiness is the way. If you ain't happy, in what you are doing, just like you choose, just like my business. I don't get tired in my business because I enjoy what I do.
Yeah. You know, I understand what you mean by that. But my happiness does not. Yes, I'm happy being able to work and take care of myself. But my happiness comes from seeking first God and his right way. That's my pure happiness. I'm telling you. And everything else is a result of that. Everything else is a result of that. Everything else is natural. Because I have him first now, and nothing or no one else before him, I take time to be. Everything else just sort of come to me. It just happens. And so it's not. It's the byproduct of seeking him first. Oh, you know what? Are we out of time for this first hour? Oh, half hour? That is terrible. We got to talk to Phyllis and all you guys. I want them to meet you. You know what? Next week, we'll be talking about the same thing, part two. A bond and this is some good stuff. So tell your friends, your neighbors, your preachers, and everybody out there to tune in. They might learn some from this program. Are we out of time? Okay, we'll be back next Monday night. Tell somebody. Thank you.
Somewhere in the world today, men have got to stand up strong. Ain't the truth about themselves. To understand what went wrong, I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up. I know we can find a way.
Last week, I was just joking about Kent. I forgot to clear that up. Welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson. And if you want to know what the joke was about Kent, you have to call the station. They will replay last week's show. And they'll tell you what the joke was about Kent that is on the air. Today, we are celebrating the 5th anniversary of Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. I am the founder and president of it. Last week, I talked about myself, so I won't go back into that. What I want to do is introduce some more of the people who are working with us and a part of Bond to you. Let's see here. Oh, one point I do want to make, and we'll talk about it as we get into the program. A lot of people don't realize how important it is, how the role of the father and how important that role is. And whenever the father fails, the impact that it has on our life, the course that it set us on. And we don't understand the depths of that. And so we're going to try to talk about that because there, I tell you, when that father is not there in the right way or not is not there at all, you end up in destruction. You see what you see today in this country and across the world. What I want to do is introduce Phyllis Robertson. He is the director of our chapter in Montgomery, Alabama. We started last year, 1994, November. Phyllis came in this weekend to celebrate the 5th-year anniversary of Bond. Phyllis, thanks for coming.
Hello.
Oh, how you doing? It's real bright.
Yeah, really.
Phyllis.
Yes.
How did you hear about Bond? And what is your impression of Bon, and tell us about
yourself? Well, I heard about Bon about 2 years ago, and I heard.
Are you nervous?
Not really.
A little bit?
Maybe a little bit.
Just a little bit? And what are you afraid of? Someone is looking or listening?
I'm not really even thinking about that right now.
Okay. You over your nervousness?
I guess I'm over it.
Okay.
I'm over it.
All right.
Let me get to talking and I'll get over it more. Okay. But quickly, yes, I heard Jesse, you know, talking to, he was being interviewed by, on another radio talk show. And what really got my attention about Bon and really attracted me to it and the things that he was saying was about things that he was just, the real deep truths and the real hurting truth that he was just saying, you know, and it was very incriminating to you know, the black community, to me, very incriminating to the black church, and the black church itself being historically, you know, the crutch of the black community, and where we have gotten lost in our motivation for what we're supposed to be doing in the black church. And
we need to get over that too. We need to get rid of the churches. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it, you know, in that moment, it was real shocking and alarming to me, and a wake up call to me. And I knew that I needed to, for the first time in my life, I knew I'd heard something that I had been waiting on. I had to be a part of this because, for some reason, all my life I've had a yearning for the real truth and what's really right and true for me as a human being here on earth. And I've heard pieces of it, but for a black man, myself being a black man, I heard a ministry to black men specifically, and it was contoured for a black man. And I have noticed in the last couple of years since I've been, you know, interacting with this organization, I have noticed a other organizations beginning to address issues focused on, geared towards black men, you know, specifically, because the black church as a whole basically is so many, you know, it's just basically black women basically in charge and in control of the black community, much less the black church. And I really realized that, you know, the preacher, the black minister, it would not be befitting for him to minister to specifically to black men, because there's none there. He has to minister to black women.
Most of the black ministers are women themselves. They're girls. And if you notice, for example, John Cherry, he had Bill Clinton in his church talking about the crime bill and all these kind of things. And anybody with any common sense, a sinner knows that Bill Clinton doesn't believe in God. This man believes in homosexuality, abortion, everything that goes against what God is all about. And yet, this big-time preacher is going to have him to come to the church and stand up as a representative of what we should be like. It's like okay and evil. You know what I'm saying? That is, we need to get rid of the churches. And then if men would wake up and become men and be the head of their families and do the right thing, the woman wouldn't have to go and look to another man for that. She would be able to go to her husband for it. And that's why these so-called ministers who've been called by their mama is able to deceive the women, because they're very emotional too, and they know how to make the women feel good. It's not you, it's your husband. He is no good. He just no better. Come to me and I give you the word and set you free. It's all a lie. It's all a game. But anyway.
You just hit it. I know this is probably changing the topic just a little bit, but this thing with the black church, the thing with the black churches, you know, and just the thing with women, you know, I think that as a human being that we all have certain morals that we have to adhere to.
That's right.
And that women, I hate to put all the blame on a woman as much as I would hate to put all the blame on the man solely. Now, if you say that a man hasn't stepped up to do his part, that may be so, you know, but women have to step up. Just, and I think that we all have to step up as people, you know, just as a person with some basic morals, you know, regardless of the sex, et cetera, and I know you have some very definite roles that you feel that each sex must play, but I think that from a moral standpoint, as an individual, if I'm right with myself and I'm right in my conduct and dealing with others, then we won't have any problem. And the woman won't have a problem if she's the same. Because I'm not going to stray outside of my marriage, outside the relationship, if I am involved with this person and I am correct with myself. But when you have conflict within yourself, then you're going to do anything, right. Man or woman. Happiness. Man or woman.
But let me just tell you this. If you are a real man, and a real man meaning loving God, following him as he guides you, doing the right thing, that power, which is of God, that is coming through you, would force your woman to do the right thing. She would have no other choice. But if you're a weak man who is looking for sex and looking for her to make you feel good, looking to her to make the decisions and things like that, then you're going to have the chaos and confusion that you have right now. But women can only destroy if a man is weak. And it's not her fault. It is your fault or the man's fault that he's weak. It is not her fault at all. She needs that power of the man to calm her down, to cause her to go the right way.
You know, and then the second part of this our statement.
Yeah, then we need to get to David.
And I'll pass this on. Yeah. Was just the church. I'm looking for anyone else to respond to this, and that's the responsibility of the church. You know, if you drive, I'll just give you a street here. I don't know if many of you are familiar with Broadway, which is a major thoroughfare within the city. But say from Vernon Avenue on the north to Imperial Highway on the south, I would estimate that you would pass over 1,000 churches. No, really, really, at least.
I believe that.
At several hundred churches.
You could drive from Slauson on Hoover, from Slauson to Manchester, and you see nearly 20 of them on every corner, Catholic, whatever, Baptist, Holiness, all kind, right across the street. And yet crime is high. Everybody, they mama on drugs.
Wait a minute, look.
Nobody got no daddy.
You know what? Why would you be looking for the churches, anything? I think you shifting blame when you talk about how many churches there. It doesn't matter how many churches there. They just like lampposters. They are not doing anything. So what you have to do is you see what is wrong and stop thinking about what the preacher is supposed to do and figure out what you supposed to do. If you see so much that preacher ought to be doing, you ought to figure out something you can do where you at to make things better. And then you won't have to go around counting churches. It ain't about what the church do. It's about what you do.
That's why we want men to wake up. Let's do this real quick. So, Felix, did you want to add anything else before we go to David? I want to introduce David and Ken and everybody. So, that's it? Well, I'm glad you came all the way from Alabama to say that.
I can't say more, but
no, yeah, David. we have an entrepreneur program at Bond as a part of our what we were doing, and the reason that we started that because we found that there was a lot of young people who would like to start a business, but they don't quite know how to get it going. You know, they're not sure what to do, and I used to be the same way. I wanted to do things, but I didn't quite know how to take that first step. So what we have done is, We rent buildings, and the young people with ideas, they come in and they set up their businesses, and they do everything that it takes to run a business. And all we do is oversee. Mm-hmm. They have to get the clients, they have to get their own merchandise, they have to pay their rent, they have to pay utility. They do everything, and we just watch over them. And David not only is a part of that program, and David, can you tell us, you know, how did you come into Bond and what kind of business you have and stuff like that. And you have to speak into the mic.
Okay. First of all, I'm a little bit nervous. But
why are you nervous?
Why? Because I've never been here.
Are you nervous at every new place?
Only when I don't know people.
Okay, this is Kent. You feel better now?
Okay. Anyways, I'm 29 years old, and I met Jesse like 2 years ago. And at the time, I had like ideas of starting my own new business, but I didn't have the confidence to do it. Right. Matter of fact, I didn't have hardly any confidence at all. And what turned out is that he basically gave me an opportunity to start my own business by providing some space. But like he said, it's all up to the person to do their own work. They give us the advice. The advice is free, but you know, you have to do all your own work for it and so forth.
And what kind of, tell us about the business you have. What kind of business you have?
I've started a Laserdisc rental store, and it's the only one in the area. Can I tell him where it's at?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is in Grants Pass, Oregon, because he has a bond office up there. And I've had it now for 1 year, and it's doing well. It's been growing, and I'm quite happy with what's turned out so far.
You know, it's really amazing to see what young people do once they drop that emotion, and because you got to learn how to deal with life. You have to deal with life. And it's fun dealing. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you say, oh, Lord, why you have to do it like this? Why can't it be? But it's fun dealing with it and overcoming it. And it's so amazing how when young people understand that, and they begin to say, well, look, I got to stop wimping. I have to start whining. And I have to get up and do it. And it's just amazing. What they do, man.
The metamorphosis that takes place.
This man business is booming. Absolutely booming. He's the only laser disc store in the area. Quality work.
It wouldn't have happened, though, without that opportunity when I just met him, because he knows what I was like 2 years ago. I would have never started something like this on my own. And all I can say is that since I've been through this, you know, I've been learning a lot about myself. About my, you know, problems that I have with dealing with other people and so forth, and it's a growing experience for myself as well as an experience on how to start my own business. There's, yeah. I've been through a lot. So.
Absolutely,
yeah, it's nice, really, and we got a lot of stories like that. You know, another thing at Bond too, we have a job hotline, and what that is that we get a list of people, both male and female, who really want to work, young kids that want to work. And we get their address and phone numbers and names, and we advertise in the community that we have young people who want to work, whether it's cutting a lawn or helping move or babysitting service or whatever. And they call in and they hire our people to work. They make money from it, and they grow from it. They learn to deal with people. And some of them go on to start their own business, even from, you know, from doing that. It's just amazing. I tell you, if we can lay down this old stupid emotion and stop taking things so personally, like the world old or something, and everybody's going to treat us nice, we can get on with life. We can get on. The hell with people. We just don't care what they say, you know. We can really get on with life.
I was going to say, I think that somehow people are actually taught to believe, like, the world owes them something back. They're brought up like that. And if you weren't brought up like that, if you had that, when you said father figure, to toughen you up and just look to do things on your own, you wouldn't be looking for things to come easy and so forth. And your whole attitude would be different.
That's right. If life come easy, you would never grow into your manhood or your womanhood. There's no way to grow. It have to be challenging so that you can overcome the world. You know, Jesus talked about the same thing. He said that we have to overcome the world. We have to overcome it. And so those things are out there. We need that in order for us to grow. All right? We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to go to Kent. Back in a moment.
It's electric!
Bond, the brotherhood organization of a new destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
Okay, we are back and we're moving on. You know, we have other people in the audience who relate, and when they come on, we're going to talk about them being late. And because if you notice that black people are always a dollar short and a day late, and we're going to do something about that. So we're talking about Bond and some of the things that we're doing. If you're missing this is good. Call the station and they will replay it so you can get the full aspect of what we are. We are membership, too. You don't have to be a member to partake of the benefits of Bond, meaning that you can come to the meetings, you can get involved. But with the membership, you get a newsletter, you get a discount on our tapes, and whenever we have functions, you get a discount on that. It's just a way that we can run the organization. Yeah, you can donate. We are a nonprofit organization. One thing I want to say about David, too, is that as with a lot of young people, once they overcome the emotion, he loves to work. He has no problem with working. This is a man that will work 24 hours a day if he had to. It is the truth. He get up in the morning, he go to his job, he work all day, and then he sit up all night to watch those videos so he can know what he about. He knows his business well. He sells those laser discs. He rents them out. He can tell you anything about them. He can tell you how to clean them, how to take care of them. Anything you want to know about it, he's up on it. He can hook up the equipment if you don't know how to hook up your laser disc player. He'll charge you for it, but he'll come to your house to hook it up, and whatever it takes, he knows how to do it. And that's what it takes to live,
huh? That's what it takes to be a good businessman.
That's right.
Know your product.
Oh, you don't have a mic, but know your product. That's what it takes. I want to introduce you to Kent. Yes, we do have white people that are part of this, too. And Kent has been with us about 3 years. How long?
Two years.
2 years. And how did you hear about us, and what condition was you? You don't have to tell all your business, but
right.
How does Bond help you?
When I first came into Bond, I was pretty screwed up, and I was just really nervous in the whole thing. And after being with Jesse it took me about 6 months, but after being with Jesse for about 6 months, I started to get over those kind of nervous twitches, and I had all this weird stuff. and ever since then, things have been going pretty well.
Yeah. Kent is a tennis player, and at that time he was traveled around the country playing tennis, and he had just got back from Africa, where the white people switched roles black people did to him what they did to us over here.
Reverse racism.
Yeah, I'm serious. They put him through the ringer, and Kent, eyes were twitching, and he was all nervous. I mean, just stressed out. And at that time, he was about to graduate from USC, so he was under pressure with school, and things wasn't that good at home, even though they weren't that bad, but they wasn't that good. But he was changed, overcome that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My relationship with my parents when I first met you was pretty low. I mean, we didn't talk too much, and after being around you, I started to open up to them, and now we have a real relationship.
Yeah.
And now it's fruitful.
You know, one thing about parents, a lot of people think that they can go, either they hate their parents or don't have anything to do with them, or if they forgive them, they don't have. You can enjoy your parents. Mm-hmm. You don't have to abandon your parents, My parents, we have a good relationship now. My mother doesn't agree with me, but we still have a good relationship. I can talk to her. I have fun with her and my dad. We play. We just have fun. But I still don't agree with certain things, and that's just the way it is. But I don't hate them, and I don't run away from them or dog them out now, because I have a better understanding about life, and I realize that they don't understand. God forgive them. Anything else you want to say? I do want to say something about Jesse, because a lot of people mentioned my name. I'm real dumb. I am not smart at all. I'm not dumb.
Very.
Yeah, very dumb. But what happened is, I know that I'm dumb, and it's good that I'm dumb, because what happened is I won't go through the rest of my life trying to figure my own life out. I won't go through the rest of my life trying to solve my own problems, making a fool out of myself. And so as a result, God is working through me. His wisdom guides my life. And he directs me. He shows me what to do. He tells me how. He opened up doors for me. I don't have to be smart. That's fine. His intellect is greater than mine, or that of the devil, because I don't have one. But I just want to say that. I'm not that smart. Let's introduce Rhonda. Rhonda Cox is working with us on our, what do you do?
What do I do?
a bit of everything, though.
Wherever I can help.
Yeah, she worked with the TV program. She helped get information out, newsletters, and just whatever. Her kids, her husband.
The woman in the church role.
Yeah. That's right, because we will not let a woman be over us. But anyway, how did you hear about Bond? What are your impressions of Bond?
I came to Bond because trying to understand my relationship with my husband and trying to work out things with my children, especially my son, and I could bring him to the group meetings and someone could talk to him, because he was going through a lot of changes at the time, and I wanted him to be straightened out, of course, which means that I have to be straightened out, but I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. And that's so, hard, too. It's hard to straighten out a woman. Ooh. It'd take at least 50 years, so don't worry.
Okay. I'm still straightening out, and he has straightened out a great deal, because I've let my will go and let his father come in.
Absolutely.
And that's hard, too. That's very difficult to do, Rodney, but I see that it's important.
Give us some example for the women who are thinking, this is that crazy woman up there talking about she let her husband do it. What do you mean by you let go and let your husband take care of it?
Well, I see my son as, I want him to be a man, and I'm not a man, so I can't raise him to be a man. But I still want to be in control, in a sense. And so I see as more, the more I try to be in control, the more he resists. And because of that, we have a lot of conflict. And as I've let my husband, even though I really didn't have the confidence in my husband to do it, and I don't know if that's a woman trait or not, but
it is.
Sometimes if you don't trust that your husband is doing the things that you want him to do or doing it the way you want him to do it, then you won't have that trust in him, so you still try to take over.
Yeah.
And so even as I do that, I still have problems, and so I had to let it go.
And you can't, I mean, is there something that a woman can't help? Is there something inside you're saying?
It's got to be the nurturing part that you've had this child. You know this child before your husband knew this child. From your womb. So you have that with you, and I'm sure that's with you for life. But as you, if you get older and you see that your child needs someone to be over, and there's a difference in the male psyche and the woman's psyche, and they respond better to that.
Yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, that's what men are trying to overcome, or they need to overcome, is that female spirit, that identity that comes. You know, God talked about how man is born of the flesh and then of the spirit.
Yes.
He's born through the woman, so he has her identity. Because he's coming through her.
It's very weak.
But after suffering for a while and realizing something's wrong, he repent of that, and then he take on the Spirit of God. That's so beautiful.
It is.
But a lot of men go through life never doing that, though, because they don't understand it.
That's true.
Yeah. I do want to say that no one up here is on welfare. Everybody is working for themselves. They have their own business. No one up here is on welfare. Isn't that nice?
It is.
That's nice, huh?
It is.
Yeah, everybody here, Phileas, you have your own business, right? A barber. David has his own. Marcus is employed. Kent is, what are you doing?
I teach tennis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He teaches tennis. And he's going to law school this summer, this fall.
This fall, right.
This fall,
right.
Going to law school. And Rhonda has her own business, you and your husband, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mortgage business.
Yeah, see there? You can make it in this society. Okay, let's talk to Dora. How did you hear about us, Dora?
At first, I heard you on the radio, Jesse.
And I want to say, if you want a shoe shine, I'll be over there tomorrow morning for a shine for the dinner tomorrow night. I need a shoe shine. The best in town.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
How did you hear about us?
I was turning the dial on the radio, and I heard you were just going off the air. And I really appreciated what you were saying. And then you gave a number. I was wondering, was you going to give a number, and you did before you went off, so I taken the number down, and I called you and left my number, and I wanted to, and I thought that you wasn't going to call, and eventually you did call, and what you was said that you'd want to do, this is my idea of, and I wanted to be a part of it, because I know that it would work,
yeah.
And then when I did get with you, it really did. It did come together, and I appreciate what you're doing. And this reason why I participate as often as I should, but as much as I can, I do. And I tell as many people and bring as many people as I can to let them know about you, because you're doing a beautiful job, and I really do appreciate what you're doing.
All right.
And the results of it is, and that's what I thrive on, is results.
Absolutely.
And I see the results of what you're doing. And everybody that that see this show, if it's any way possible, if you got some $1, $2, $3, $5, $100, $1,000, whatever you can afford to send, I would appreciate it that if you'd send it, because it's for a worthy cause. Look at your people.
Men have got to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can.
find a way.